Amen. Thank you, choir, for that good singing. Our text today is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 21 and following. Jeremiah, chapter 8. Jeremiah was a prophet, a preacher in his day, and it was probably some of the darkest days that were going to get darker. That was the issue. And so he is given the task of being sort of a lone voice of warning to his people. And God was preparing a nation to rise up against his nation, Judah, and come and basically flatten the country and kill as many as they could. And what were not killed were taken into exile far from home. That would be something that Jeremiah would live to see. But these are the days of his prophecy. And there are all kinds of issues going on in his land. And the majorly issue was that they had gotten away from their God. They'd gotten away from the day from being willing to obey God, to follow God, to pray, the kinds of things we might see in our own land these days. And so as we look at this this chapter in Jeremiah, we recall him who was known as the weeping prophet. He truly understood. He understood the pain of his people. He had a pastor's heart, you might say, for his nation. He did not enjoy giving them warning. But it was his task. And so this weeping prophet has this to say, getting on close toward the end. Chapter 8, verse 20, we'll start. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. So here we are on that day after the summer has ended. And we have to ask ourselves, where are we right now? Are we where the Lord wants us, individually as Christians? If you examine your heart and look to your life, how would you say things are with you? And how are we as a church? Where is our heart? I'm glad that we're going to have an opportunity to give and to help the people in the eastern part of the state. We're called upon to be charitable toward those in need. And there's a great, great many of people in need. So we'll have offering bearers at the end there if you'd like to give. And you be sure to try to find some way to participate in this. And who knows what one day, as things begin to develop, we'll have opportunity to go and to share in the rebuilding of that part of our state. There is suffering in our community. And so we barely can watch the news anymore without a heartbreaking story right here in our own area, our own county. And there are some broken hearts and broken lives. And those kinds of things are taking place all around us. And so Jeremiah says, the harvest is past. The days of bringing in the harvest, and that was always a sign of a great matter, to bring in the harvest of the crops that had been tended to and cultivated, and finally the harvest comes. And now the summer is here, he says. The summer is ended. And he said, we're still not saved. We're not in a safe place. That comes to a people sometimes who have said no to God quite a bit. And God is now saying through his prophet, he says, for the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I am darkened in my heart. Astonishment has taken hold on me. I'm astounded. And then in verse 22, is there no balm or medicine in Gilead? Is there no position there. Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Is there no balm in Gilead? That'll be our chief topic today. Is there no medicine for the soul? Are we past saving? Is there something in our heart that just has not yielded to the Lord and His way, and His truth, His love? Sometime this week, some child in our county, if not more, has watched as their father went out the front door, perhaps never to see again. Suitcase in hand. Or a teenager has found the mother's empty liquor bottles in the trash, and mom's gone to bed with another headache. This week, somewhere, 13-year-olds have been pressed to whether they'll commit themselves to a relationship that's not ready for it. To say no. And so the future of many of our youth are up in question. What's going to heal our land? What kind of medicine is it going to be that's going to heal the land and heal our hearts? What is it that you and I are holding in our hearts right now that is a wound? And we're wondering, how will it ever be healed? Is there not a medicine? Is there not a balm in Gilead? Gilead was a place east of the Jordan River, on the other side of the river from Judah and Israel. And it was a place where these special plants would grow. And when those plants were crushed, they were made into an ointment. As I was telling the children, very valuable. It follows all along the history of Israel. Jacob, when he was getting ready to go down into Egypt and meet with his son, Joseph, whom Joseph's brothers, you remember, betrayed him and sold him into slavery. And Joseph, through a series of events, became second to the Pharaoh in power. And Jacob was preparing to go. And among the things that he sent before him to the Pharaoh was a little jar. It says, a little jar of this balm, of this ointment that was so good to put onto a wound. And so now Jeremiah is asking the question, for the wounds of my people, is there no balm of Gilead? Is there nothing that will heal the wounds and the hearts of my people? Is there no sign of recovery? Is there no physician? And he talks about his tears just falling down. Well, that pointed to a spiritual need as well as a national need there in Judah. But it also points in a greater way, as much of the Bible does do. It points to greater worldwide kinds of needs spiritually. And what is the solution to the heart of mankind? What is the solution to our sin? What kind of medicine is there for our souls that by which we can be healed by our Lord? And so go centuries later, and there comes Jesus. Jesus born meagerly, without any fanfare, like most of us are born. Not a lot of attention drawn to us except for the family. We're all happy and rejoicing. Jesus grew up there in that little nowhere country among us people that were enslaved. And people began to follow him. Many people thought he would somehow redeem the nation politically and militarily, that Jesus would become a great king. It was not to be. It wasn't even in his ambition. Jesus went to the cross. And on that cross, all the forces of hell poured out against him. He took the penalty of all the sin of mankind upon himself. He bore our sins. And he laid down his life so that we could be saved if we believe. If we believe. So over in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, one of his late blooming disciples was Paul, the Apostle Paul, who became a great missionary, and he had this message to spread across the known world, the known Roman world, and as far as else as he could get. And his message was very simple. It was about Jesus Christ. He said in one place, he said in Romans 1, chapter 16 and 18, you can go ahead and turn there, 16 and 17, excuse me. 17 comes after 18. I think it still does that. But his message, he said at one place, he said, I claim to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said that there might be a lot of things we could talk about, but that's the main thing that I want to tell you about. And so to across the Roman world, that message went. And it went to the hearts of the people. And if history tells us that many, many thousands and millions believed across the Roman world in this Jesus Christ whom they had never seen, but they believed in Him and they were blessed. They were blessed by knowing Him and receiving Him into their hearts. It's amazing that really most of the early believers were among the poorest people. Many of them were servants in the places of the Romans, or even slaves in the places of Romans. And so they were receiving Jesus as their Savior. They are asking Him to come into their lives. And so Paul in Romans 1, we hear him say this. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. That's the rest of everybody. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, this is the power of God. Here is the medicine for the human soul, for every human soul. Excuse me for spitting like that. But you know, if you sit on the front, you get the drippings off the altar, as they say. I'll try to keep it in. The power. Here is the solution. Here is at the heart of our deepest needs. You say, well, I've got other needs. Yes, you may have, you may very well have. And you say, well, this doesn't seem to get at the needs I have. You know what? Very often the needs we really and most deeply have are genuinely our spiritual needs. Now, I know there are many things in life to be concerned over. You know, when Jesus would heal somebody, His main concern was not about their physical needs, as important as that was to them and to their livelihood and their families. As important as that was, His real concern, His real target in their life was not their body. As important as it is to us, His real target was the soul. He often would say to someone who had been healed, they'd be all, you know, re-energized. And he would say to them, your faith has made you whole indeed. It's your spiritual well-being that's even more important than your physical well-being. And so he was aiming at the heart. Now, it's important that we help with physical needs, and that's part of what hopefully we'll be able to do by assisting those in the eastern part of the state. But we never forget that the greatest need of all mankind called on God to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross and be raised from the grave, amen? And is our risen Savior. And so this is the trumpet call. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's a challenging word. If we do not know Jesus Christ as our Savior, it is a word with invitation in it. It is inviting us to be a part of the believing thousands and millions and billions of people who have followed Jesus through the centuries. It is an open door. It's the very door you have been waiting on to open the door to Christ and let Him come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and live in your heart and your spirit and be with you. Wholeness, salvation is wholeness. It not only is about heaven. Thank God for heaven, and thank God there is a place called heaven, and thank God through Jesus Christ we will be able to go into heaven with a promise from Him. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for that. But it also goes to our relations. Is there wholeness between us and others? Are there those in our life that we need to have repair or healing? Is there a balm in Gilead for what really aches at my heart? Is there a bitterness in our heart that's created such a wound in us that we cannot turn loose? Is there a balm in Gilead that will be the solution for my heart's bitterness and will help me to pull it up by the roots and live a normal and a fulfilled life with God and with others? Can we bury it as God buried our sins? Can we bury it in the sea of forgetfulness, in the sea that as far as from the east is from the west, deepest sea of all, the sea of God's forgiveness? Can we put it there? Some of us say, well, I've buried that's in the past, but you know what? We've left the hand up with a hatchet in it. Make it a matter of all your prayer, of everything in you to repair and get into being a brother or sister to your fellow believers and your family. And so, I hadn't even started preaching yet. I got to turn a page. I hadn't even turned one yet. Are there wounds in your life where you've been hurt? You've been mistreated? Are there deep wounds in your heart? Has there been no solution to come to your life? Well, I'm telling you, for the deepest wounds of your heart, there is a God. And God alone is the great physician. Yes, there is a physician. There is somebody who's working on your case. The Holy Spirit is in your heart, dear Christian. And He's there to work on your case. He's there to work in your life. And so, getting in right relationship with God is what Paul's talking about. The just, he says, shall live by faith, he says. Not by works of our hands, he says in Ephesians, but faith in the love of God. Are you willing to trust Him? There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. The people go everywhere. There's no physician, they say. There's no solution. There's no medicine for our hearts. Jeremiah's calling out to God. He's crying. He's praying to God. God told Jeremiah one time, as he was calling out to him, things were hard. Jeremiah was having a pity party. Have you ever had a pity party? I throw one ever so often. God whispered to Jeremiah something like this. I'll give the South Carolina version of it. Cheer up, Jeremiah. Things are going to get worse. Sometimes that's the case. But the Redeemer is coming. Your soul is important. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Seek to obey the Lord in all things as best you can. Obey the Lord. And when you fall short, confess it quickly. If you get mad, deal with it. In your marriages. You think after 45 years, Jane's not... I mean, I haven't made Jane mad. And I've always tried to practice, especially since it's usually my fault. Before the sun goes down, before we sleep on it. We don't always find a solution, but we're willing to have a truce and work it out. And by morning, she's come up with the answer, and that's all good with me. Don't let anger get its root in you. It's a hurting thing. It's a bitter thing. Don't let it win the day. Don't let it rule your life. Let the love of God come in there. Pray for yourself and pray for everybody else around you. And God will work a miracle. In your heart. He'll work a miracle in your heart. You've got 20 grandchildren. You've got a big responsibility. Amen? Our nation really needs a healing. The Bible says this, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It's obvious there's not enough of us praying. He's not saying pray politically. A lot of us are good on our politics. We think we are. He says, pray, humble yourself, repent and pray for God's will to be done. Get yourself busy praying for your nation. Our nation needs some healing. There's wounds there that are not going to heal. There's no balm in Gilead except if the Lord heals. Healing our land. Healing our relationships. And healing our bodies. Healing Christ's body. Healings in the church. Amongst God's people. The church, you know, can get a little sick. And the church can get wounds. And the church needs healing. Is there a balm in Gilead? Oh yes, there's a balm in Gilead. And it's Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. It's getting down serious with Him. It's committing our life to Him. An old spiritual that's often sung in our African-American congregations. It started even among the slave days. And it's about this passage. It goes like this. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Well, I think I'll just sing it. Forgive my voice. Billy, you want to come up and sing it with me? Come on up here with me. I don't have any music. It's just me and you now. No music. That way, if I'm off key, at least one of us will be on key. That's it. And let's use that for the chorus right there. Oh, you got it. Well, you just use. Let's use your book.
This is the chorus.
My friend. Yeah.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul.
That's a good place. That's a good place. Thank you. I'm glad you knew the tune to that. I was going to use another tune. You know, every Baptist hymn can be sung to any Baptist tune. I've done it. I know it can happen. You get the message, though? There's a bomb in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There's a bomb in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I don't know exactly why. Lord, this was the message of the day. It wasn't really the message I'd planned. But Lord, it's perhaps the message I need to hear. I need to hear myself this message. And perhaps there's others here, Lord, as well. To God, call on you and say to you, God, come into my life. Lord, find your ways into those places in my heart that I've kept locked away. Those places in my life that I've kept for myself. Lord, come into my heart today. Come into my heart, Lord. Perhaps I've never asked you there. I've never said, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart today, Lord. And Lord, heal that whatever's in my heart that is a wound in me. Cause me, Lord, to walk with Jesus. Even as the disciples, sometimes ignorantly, sometimes with the wrong spirit, but help me keep on following Jesus Christ and Him alone, Him alone. It is He that we are called to follow. And so, Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, out of the heart of old Jeremiah, and the answer was in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today, may we follow you with whatever, God, you have in your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all want to try to sing that song as our closing hymn? It's hymn number 269. There is a balm in Gilead. Shannon, I don't think I got that to you. So, Shannon, you just take a hymn book and sing with us. How's that? 269. God moves on your heart. You come today. whatever it is that God's moving in your heart about, and you want to express that by coming down this aisle today and walking here to these prayer altars, or I'll be glad to pray with you too. Let's sing together.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. Oh, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin sick soul. If you can preach like Peter, if you can pray like Paul, just tell the love of Jesus and say he died for